Don't sing, I have a mic. Well, now I do. Okay. Wow. That was beautiful. You don't have to have a lot of people to make a joyful noise, do you? I'd like to thank everybody for all the work. Obviously, there's been a lot of work that was put into this stage. All the beautiful things here, I didn't expect a beautiful stage like this. And it is gorgeous. Thank you. Like you heard, I'm Dan Miller. And you might wonder, why am I here? Well, we needed a place to go to the feast, but to you, this might be just, you have to go here. I don't know. You know, I'm not trying to make you think that way either, but we like small feast sites, my wife and I. We've been to a number over the years, and I always love small feast sites because you get to know the people. But then I also thought about, why am I here? And I remembered that, I think it's about 4.5 years ago, Mr. White came to our house. He was, I believe, back in Cincinnati for the GCE that year. He came with our pastor, Randy Stiver, Mr. Stiver. I think most of you probably know him. And we had a pretty good time, I think. Anyways, I just remembered him, and I was like, I'd like to get to know him a little better. So we're here to get to know Mr. White better. And so far, I found he puts you to work. So here I am. We're all here to enjoy the feast, aren't we? A foretaste of the age that will be and what it will be, the age to come and what it will be like. The world we live in today will be history, a distant memory or maybe forgotten. You know, the bad news of the day, today, the things that we see in the news, the things we go through, the things we experience, that will all be a thing of the past. You know, terrorist attacks will be eliminated. No more empty promises. We got plenty of those, don't we? What about little white lies? I don't think those will exist either. And as innocent as the Santa Claus may seem, it is a little white lie, isn't it? Righteousness will rule. All of these things will be a thing of the past. So today I would like to explore and take you into that future. We may have to use our imagination a little bit, but the Bible is pretty graphic on what it will be like. One of my favorite scriptures about the world tomorrow is, and we already sang about it, in Micah 4 and in verse 1. I'd like to read that to you and then make some comments. The book of Micah is of the minor prophets. I don't know about you, I always have a little bit of a harder time finding the minor prophets in some of the other books. But Micah 4 and in verse 1. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Why? Why are people wanting to go there? He says, he will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I think we all look forward to that time, don't we? But then in verse 4, everyone shall sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree. Now, I'd like to make a little comment on that. You know, I live in the country. I was brought up raising a lot of my own food. And I, in that respect, I kind of have my own fig tree. It's not a fig tree, it's an apple tree. But what always intrigues me more is the next line. And no one shall make them afraid. Is there any place on this earth today that you can say that? And then it says, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. A lot has been said in those few verses. Obviously, people's attitudes will have changed. They will be seeking God. God's law will be taught. And wherever God is, there's building versus destruction. All will have the opportunity to own land. That's something we in America may take for granted. You know, my ancestry came to America, not necessarily for land, because of religious persecution, but land was something that they were then able to have. And to this day, land is very precious to my background. But we do have fears, don't we, when it comes to land ownership today, don't we? You know, most of us may not be able to have it completely paid for, and the banks may come in, and you always have that fear. I would like to take the opportunity to look at the Ten Commandments in the light of no one shall make them afraid. If all the Ten Commandments were kept today, wouldn't fear be done away with? What if only the last six, which deal with human relationships, what if those were kept today? I'd like to focus on the last six. I don't want to take more time than I have to. So let's turn over to Exodus 20. And reminisce about fear being done away with. Exodus 20. This is where you find the Ten Commandments. In verse 12. This would be commandment number 6. Honor your father and mother. Why should we do that? God always tells us to do something, and then he tells us why, doesn't he? That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. If children were to respect their parents, if they were to respect their heritage today, wouldn't a lot of fear go away? Children would... If they respected them, they would treat them with respect, obviously. In the hearts of the fathers, that's the other side of it. If parents were to maybe to treat their children better too, that would help. The hearts of the fathers be turned to the children, and the hearts of the children be turned to the fathers. There would be forgiveness instead of animosity and hatred. A solid family relationship. Children need to learn from their parents. And that's why, you know, in other places in the Bible you read, this is the first commandment with promise. When you have a little child, that has a lot of meaning, because what else can a little child do but laugh and honor and please take care of me? Children need to continue to do that. There's much that children can learn from their parents. Unfortunately, today, we have a lot of parents that are actually afraid of their children. And the society promotes that. Our daughter, who's in her 20s, was teaching school in just north of Cincinnati for 2 years. And that was kind of an eye-opener. It's kind of an inner-city school. people are very welfare-minded, and, you know, the government's supposed to pay for everything for everybody, and parents aren't responsible. One of her students, who was it seventh or eighth grade? Eighth grade, was arrested at school because he beat up so badly on another kid out in the hallway. So I was glad when she quit. You know, I'm her dad. But that's the kind of world we live in. If people were to respect authority, if children and all people, for that matter, were to respect their elders, you wouldn't have that kind of a problem. Now let's go to the next commandment, commandment number 7. You shall not murder. No one will be afraid of being killed. And no one would be today if that commandment was kept. Which would eliminate the need for a police force, wouldn't it? People will feel free to roam the streets. Actually, you could say there's no more need for a military. And then, the most innocent of all, no more abortions. We understand that abortion is murder. But one thing, I have said this before, and I find it kind of interesting. Have you ever thought about the fact that all those who are pro or for abortion have already been born? The most innocent of human beings don't have a say in what their destiny is, right? If this commandment was kept today, there would be no abortions as we know it. On to the next commandment. You shall not commit adultery. Living in fear of unfaithfulness would be gone, wouldn't it, if that commandment was kept universally? The family would be intact. There would be a loving father and a loving mother. Faithfulness to your spouse would be the norm. I suspect we wouldn't have any more jokes about cheating on your spouse. Breaking this law would be taken very seriously. Now we come to commandment number 8. And this is something I think we can all relate to. You shall not steal. No more locking of doors. But sometimes locking of doors can be a mistake in this world. I had an experience like that. We had the opportunity to purchase some land away from our home several years ago, and people told me don't leave anything valuable there, so I didn't. But we had moved in an old camper, so we had a place to get out of the rain when we're there. We did at one time sleep in it, right? But I can't get my wife in there anymore. There's snakes took over because there were rodents in there. But anyways, when we first had that piece of land, I was like, well, I locked the door. You know, that's what we do, lock doors in this world. Well, one of the first times I came back there for hunting, the door was smashed in. And I went inside, and the little bit of stuff I left there, a table, a couple of chairs, they just left that, and that's about all they took. So I said, dumb me. And just don't lock the door. I had to fix the door. Don't lock the door. Just don't leave anything valuable there. But that would be a thing of the past. Security companies would be out of business. I can kind of speak from experience there. My brother has a company. I have a company. We do some business together. And his one customer of his is a security company. And he stamps out these little metal plates by the millions and ships them all over the world. They get inserted into these, I think they're CD cases that, like, when you go to Walmart, and then they go across a magnet, and there's little leaflets in that little plate that drop when it hits the magnet and it releases, and you can get your CD to keep people from stealing CDs. You know, I had the opportunity to design a die, a 2-out die to make those leaflets. I would be out of business. I'm not complaining, you know, but I'm just saying that that would be a good thing, wouldn't it? I could use that energy to do more productive things than to watch out for thieves in this world. Resources would be channeled to better things. Manpower would be used for building. And tithing would also be honored. No one would steal from God. Number 9, you shall not bear false witness. I think this is a huge problem in this world. Just imagine how many problems would be solved if this commandment was kept. Think about the politicians. And you know what? We can be just like them. We're humans too. There would be no more rumors being broadcast that are half-truths. No more propaganda being spread around, putting fear into people, wondering what and who to trust. No more fear of accusations. You know, today, people live in fear of accusations, don't they? You don't know what your neighbor might say about you that's not true, and you have to defend yourself. People's yes would be yes, and their no would be no. And then number 10, you shall not covet. This world thrives on coveting, doesn't it? It thrives on getting people to lust, scheming to take away from or get something that's not yours or get something that you can't afford. And one example would be, you see this on the TV all the time, all the ads. You know, one of the, my pet peeves about TV is commercials. And there's not a whole lot to watch on there anyways, but there's this one ad that I keep seeing, this ad about you should invest in gold. And, you know, gold holds its value. That's the reasoning. And the reasoning is that, you know, the dollar is just about ready to fall. But the interesting thing about that ad is these very people who tell you your dollar is going to be worthless, invest in gold, they're taking that worthless dollar from you. I don't seem to believe what they're saying. That wouldn't happen, you know, if this commandment was being kept today. Imagine all the prosperity that would result if everyone was just to keep the last 6 of these commandments. The fear that would not exist. It will be that way in the world tomorrow. It will be a way of life. Priorities will be set aright. And where will it start? This is the key. We all know that Satan will be gone. It will start with true leadership. I'd like to go to Isaiah 11 now. Isaiah 11. And verse 1. Here we have a word picture of this leadership. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now there is the word fear. We've already, I think, heard about the fact that this fear is a fear of reverence, not a fear of being afraid. This leadership will be revered because of what it is. There won't be no hypocrisy. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes. He's not going to be physical, for one thing, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. So even if you were spreading rumors, you couldn't convince him. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. I think that's a description of a perfect leader, isn't it? True leadership is not self-serving. This is going to be leadership that is faithful, leadership that cares about everyone, about everything. Leadership that's not destructive, will not have ulterior motives. And that leader will be none other than Jesus Christ. Isaiah continues to go on and describe this time in the about how the physical will be, a part of Scripture I always very much enjoyed, because it involved animals. The wolf shall lie down, or the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Now that will be a sight. And we are staying over at the Best Western, and we like to, if we discipline ourselves enough, to go out and take a walk. Now, Mr. Corbett gave us some other ideas today. We might try that, too. But there's cattle out there in the field, and I haven't seen any grizzly bears out there grazing among those cattle. So obviously this is still in the future, right? The cow shall and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in a viper's den. A couple years ago, I had the opportunity to take our youngest son on an overnight camping trip. Went to one of the state parks there in Ohio, and we had to hike in, I forget, a couple miles, and then we were camping. And this was very primitive camping. Well, I say it's real camping. That's debatable, I guess. But anyways, we came there, and one of the campsites had a sign, poisonous snake. So we just kind of passed it all up and kept on going. We even in Ohio, we have poisonous snakes. And then later we met another, there was two guys and their two sons that were also there, and that was all that was at that camp that night. And they said, we put up that sign. Said, we came in here, and it was kind of scary because our kids ran ahead. And there was a hollow tree. The kid wanted to look up the hollow tree. And when he got there, he saw it, thankfully. There's a little copperhead coiled up. So that would not have been a good thing, being a couple miles in there and a little kid being bit by his copperhead. That's the world we live in today. This will all change. Human life will always be above animal life, which is unlike today. You know, children are always taught, well, I shouldn't say always, but I know of inner city or city situations where man has had its problem. You know, we have not been perfect at by no stretch of imagination, but they will take kids to these zoos and say, who is killing these animals? And they echo, we are. There's the respect for human life and what God put us here is not there anymore. There will be respect for human life in the world tomorrow. And children will be regarded as precious. They are a blessing from God. No more wild animals to be afraid of. No more grizzly bears coming down into the camp where you have to pick up the what we heard about earlier. I have a little story here I'd like to share with you. I am very fond of history. I like to know beginnings. So I spent a lot of time in studying my ancestry. And recently I had the opportunity to buy a genealogy book that I'm not in it, but you know, there's people, a lot of people in there that I know that are, and there's stories. And that's one thing I think some of you heard last night. My background is Amish, and they're very good about genealogy. I can actually trace my ancestry back to 1260 AD in Switzerland. But in this book, where we come from in Ohio, you look at it as lush, green, dairy land, a lot of dairy cows, a lot of small farms. And you don't think about wild animals. In fact, well, we got a fairly decent deer population, but no bears. Except for once in a while, one wandering over from Pennsylvania. Well, this ancestor, they had come into our area just a couple miles from where I live, and they were homesteading and had their little plot of land they had cleared and were making hay, and they had taken their little baby with them to the field. This was about 200 years ago. And to their horror, as they were out there with the size, that's the way they did it back then, making hay, they turned around and a mother bear had taken their little child and was walking away. So the father said to his wife, he said, "Pray with all your might and I'll follow," which he did. So he followed the bear from a distance in the woods, and lo and behold, the bear let the baby down and covered it with leaves and left. So he, with joy, went and retrieved the baby. And, of course, he made sure it was safe now. But he went back, and the bear was coming back. You know, that's what bears do. That will be a thing of the past. The bears will not do that anymore in the world tomorrow. I grew up in the country, and I always loved animals. One thing I did as a little boy, I kind of had a fallout with goats. They were a little bit stubborn. So goats are out for me. But we had a local farm there that was a sheep farm. They also did fish and other things they produced. But if you are familiar with sheep, there's always the orphans. And you hate to just let them die, but you don't really have time to take care of them. And that was their situation. So they always brought the orphans to me. And I gave them the bottle. I lost a few. Didn't get them all growing up. You know, I'm very familiar with animals dying. But if you raise those little lambs on a bottle, they were the sweetest little things you ever saw. They would follow you wherever you go. I got a little bit creative with this whole thing. You know, you've heard the nursery rhyme, "Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go." Well, that was the lamb and me. But I realized that if I go to the harness store, I ask for their scrap leather because I didn't have money. So I made myself a little harness. And I made myself a little cart. So I put the harness on my little sheep, and I put the cart, hitched it to the cart, and I was not the beast of burden anymore. So I used my lamb to kind of like a wagon, and I hauled the gas. My dad had a business a couple hundred feet from the house, and so the gas tank was over there, but I had to fill the gas can and bring it back home. So we had gas. We didn't have electricity. Everything was, you know, lighting and heating or cooking was done with gas. So, you know, you can utilize even little lambs. But I thought it'd be interesting to have the kids kind of imagine about this. You probably will be able to do that with a bear in the world tomorrow. Can you imagine having a grizzly bear? You could pull a big load, I thought I'd share that with you. People will have full access to Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. There won't be the pressures of this world. The deceit of Satan will be gone. Let's go over to Zechariah 8. Again in the Minor Prophets, toward the end of the Old Testament. Zechariah 8 and in verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. But then the next verse, I think, has some very beautiful words. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and women shall sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. People will grow old and have a quality of life, and they won't have fear. Unlike the Jerusalem of today, my wife and I and our daughter had the opportunity 4 years ago to go to Jordan for the feast. And then after the feast, we went over to Jerusalem. And this is kind of the way it hit me. You know, even Jordan, you know, I'm not trying to say there was no fear in Jordan, but there was a definite difference between the how the people were in Jordan versus in Jerusalem. Nobody really wanted to talk to you, and they were just kind of like this. So we discussed that amongst ourselves. Why is that? We came to the conclusion we'd be that way too if we were being shot at all the time. That's what fear does to people. That's not the way Jerusalem is today. This is a beautiful picture when young and old will have good relationships, and the young people will value that. Today, old people don't get the respect they deserve. And granted, we also have to realize, you know, I've heard this said many times, I'm kind of halfway in between now, but those who complain about the future generation need to look at where they came from. That is true. But it's the system that we have. You know what I mean? The respect is not there. There's fear. There's lack of trust. And all of this is caused by Satan. Young people will value their elders, not for their money, but for their wisdom. If you continue to read in verse 5, the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I can say I've sort of experienced that. You know, I certainly didn't have a perfect childhood. But I had the opportunity of growing up within a few miles of my grandparents. So I got to know my grandparents very well. And one of the things I always look forward to, one of my earliest memories, is how Mom would go and visit her mom, my grandmother, and we called her the candy grandmother. So maybe that's why I like her as well. Anyways, we'd be trotting along the road, and of course you can't, if you're going on in a horse and buggy, you don't have to worry too much about speed. You have to worry about getting bored. So, you know, I would count the fence posts and the birds from the fence posts. But anyways, what I'm trying to say is it is a beautiful picture to have grandchildren and grandparents interacting. There is a huge need for that today, isn't there? This will happen in the world tomorrow. I kind of have a soft spot for that right now because I became a grandfather this summer. Children will not be valuing their elders for money, we said, but for their wisdom. And there's much you can learn from older people. Okay, let's continue on by going over back to Isaiah 30. And in verse 19. This involves us in the world tomorrow. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers, and that's what involves us, we are here to learn about that time. And the more that we can learn, the more we can teach. The teachers will not be moved into the corner, a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. Wouldn't that be great if that would be today? Only question I have is how many people would listen. But I think at that time, without the influence of Satan and the things that people will have gone through, they will be glad to just listen. People will be willing to change and listen to their teachers, and we will be those teachers. You know, we've heard about us, what the saints will be doing as we assist Christ when he returns. We are in training for that right now. Jesus Christ is training his leadership for the world tomorrow. I'd also like to look a little bit at the prosperity that will result. Mr. Wilburn, give the sermon it. I'm sorry, I am not good with names. I remember faces, I remember where you're from, but I'm not good with names. I think I had it correctly. But he touched on this. But I'd like to have a little bit different slant to it. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Now, I know that people are here from Las Vegas, and you probably know more about this than I do. I had the opportunity to go to Death Valley one time, but I heard that some years back, I think it was within the last decade, it was wetter than usual in Death Valley, and blossoms started blooming that hadn't bloomed for decades. Anybody aware of that? That's what I see here. We heard about the garden this morning in the sermon, or this afternoon in the sermonette. Water will make a huge difference, won't it? It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and shouting. And then dropping down to verse 5, in addition to that, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for the waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. There will be healing. Sick people will not be sick anymore. And I don't mean this as derogatory to sick people, but I do know, I've experienced arthritis myself, how debilitating things can be when you're sick. So I think it's fair to say, if you don't have sick people, you have more productive people. People will be healed. The problems that we face today are going to be a thing of the past. But even more than that, the problems that we face today are more of a spiritual nature too, where the eyes will be opened up to God's truths and people's minds will be healed. Sick people are not productive. Healthy people are. That will contribute very much to the productivity in the world tomorrow. Let's go over to Zephaniah 3, verse 9. No, maybe I think I have time. Let's go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. It's hard to not talk about the world tomorrow and not go to Zechariah, right? Zechariah 14. This is one of the amazing scriptures for me when I came into the church. In that day, his feet, that's Jesus Christ, shall stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half toward the south. In other words, what will happen is there's going to be an opening at Jerusalem between the Eastern Sea and the Western Sea, which is the Mediterranean and the Dead Sea. And it says it's going to be a great valley. And having had the opportunity to stand there, it's easier to visualize now, because the altitude between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea, I believe, is about difference in altitude is about 3,000 feet. So it will become a gorge. But in verse 8 it says, in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the Eastern Sea and half toward the Western Sea, in both summer and winter it shall occur. It says living waters. This earth is going to be in great need of healing. And living waters are going to get rid of all the toxins and what all else took place, as well as healing people. People will experience true freedom. You know, if you mention we're enslaved here in the United States today, people would look at you kind of funny, wouldn't they? But we are enslaved. We are enslaved with the society we're in. You know, they say nothing sure but death and taxes. I found out that you guys don't have sales tax in Montana. Maybe I have to move out here. Anyway, it's just all joking aside. The slavery that I think we experience today more than anything is our own selfish ambitions. That will be a thing of the past. And communications will be pure. Can you imagine what the world would be like today? But we know why we have so many languages. God did that for a reason. And the reason was, he knew that if mankind, under the influence of Satan, had one language, it wouldn't be good. But let's imagine what it would be like under true, perfect leadership if we had one language, a pure language. We read about that in Zephaniah 3, verse 9. Zephaniah 3 and verse 9. I always have a hard time finding that one, but it's right after Habakkuk. Zephaniah 3, verse 9. For then I will restore the peoples to the peoples a pure language, and they all may call on the name of the Lord. And I thought this last verse really kind of sums it up. And serve him with one accord. Unity. That's not a Honda Accord. It's unity. Today we have many languages, and it causes a lot of problems, but it was to our, you know, we know that it was to man's best interest that God did what he did. But can you imagine the efficiencies that would start happening if we all had one language? We wouldn't be spending energy doing things, trying to understand each other. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have traveled throughout the world and throughout the country. And we, even in the United States, we think we have one language, but we still don't understand each other, do we? That will be different in the world tomorrow. I had an experience that was kind of interesting a couple years ago. I was on a wild goose chase to China. You know, there's so much manufacturing being done in China, but that's kind of turning a bit right now. And I guess they enticed me a little bit, because I waited a long time. They wanted to do business with me over there, and I didn't know why. And they invited me to come over, and, well, I was kind of desperate for work. It was, you know, after 2009. It was actually in 2010 when I went to China. But an interesting thing happened on that airplane. I never had experienced being in a plane and being one of a handful of Caucasian people on the plane. And I was fine with that, but it really came to me when the stewardess came to, or the flight attendant came to me. And, I flagged her down. I wanted some information about their frequent flyer program. So I tried to explain to her, and it became pretty clear she couldn't understand English. But I had the brochure here, and I was showing her. I thought she got what I wanted. So she left, and I was like, well, she's going to get somebody who can speak English. And lo and behold, she comes back with a glass of water. I needed that too, so I decided, okay, well, frequent flyer, I don't care. But it was kind of a strange feeling to be at 40,000 feet up in the air for 13 hours with people that brought you a glass of water when you were asking. You know what I mean? Communications is a problem today, and people become very upset at each other because they don't understand each other. That will be a thing of the past. How many wars do you suppose could have been avoided in the past couple thousand years if we had one language and pure communication and people understood each other? That's the kind of thing that will happen in the world tomorrow. No one shall make them afraid. People will be able to say what they mean and then mean what they say, and everybody knows where they're coming from. And that's because Satan will be out of the picture, and the result will be prosperity. Another scripture on prosperity, I got this from the old booklet, worldwide booklet, The World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Turn with me over to Isaiah 60, verse 5. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wells of the Gentiles shall come to you. I found it interesting, the abundance of the sea. And it kind of struck me, as much as we know about our planet today, how much don't we know? And how much of that will be revealed to mankind in the world tomorrow. In this booklet, the worldwide booklet, I think Mr. Armstrong had written that. I got it in the 80s, so I suppose it was what he originally wrote it. But he said that 1 cubic mile, this was back in 1980s dollars, 1 cubic mile of seawater contains $93 million of gold and $8.5 million of silver. Now, how many cubic miles of seawater do you suppose there are? I didn't try to figure that out. But we kind of have experienced that back home, and I think out here, I know in the Dakotas, you have lots of oil going on right now. Well, that's happening back in Ohio. In fact, the land I bought, if I knew everything I do now when I bought it, I would have been a little bit more careful to, or cared more about the fact that I don't have the gas rights. And we have an explosion of discovery of oil in western PA and eastern Ohio. You know, it's just booming. And I look at that and I'm like, I don't know how good it is, but this is something that we were not aware of just a decade ago. How much of that will happen in the world tomorrow? How much is there that we don't know about this planet? You know, mankind thinks he knows a lot. And sometimes I look at it and I say, how can you be sure about that, you know? Has anybody been down thousands of miles to the center of the earth to see what's there? But they talk to you like they know. Do they really know? What will God reveal to us in the world tomorrow? Or to mankind? We know that, let's go over to Amos. I only have a few more scriptures here. Amos 9 and in verse 13. Amos is in here somewhere. This has always intrigued me. I really don't have an agriculture background, but I grew up among agriculture. Oh, here we are, Amos 9, verse 13. Here we say, read that, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it." Can you imagine what it will be like when the plowman overtakes the reaper? Because there's going to be such an abundance, they didn't have time to reap it. There's going to be lots of work. There's probably more food than people are able to harvest. There's going to be lots of work for individuals like, I think it's Mr. Hoffer was in agriculture a lot, fixing equipment, you know. It's going to be prosperity. Great land improvements will happen all over the world, and agriculture will be valued. The common man will not be taken advantage of anymore. No more fear of that. All shall share in the wealth. There will be joy because of true abundance. And one last scripture I have here. I was in Isaiah 11 first before I started. But let's go back to Isaiah 11, verse 9. "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." God's world will have come. The mindset of Satan will be a thing of the past. But I think the key verse here is, "The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea." That doesn't leave anything behind, does it? Everybody shall know God. God's way will be taught and will be administered in a way that people will understand, in a caring way, and no one shall make them afraid. That is because the Lord God reigns. Everyone will have their own vine, their own fig tree, but no one will threaten to take it away. Today, that is always an issue, isn't it? People vandalize. People do all kinds of things. So there's this constant, is it safe? Even if you have your own vine and your own fig tree. Truly no one will be made afraid. Unfortunately, we're not there yet. But we are here, as we heard earlier in the feast, to work together, to become fitly framed together, and to be prepared to do our part today so that we're ready to be participators and teachers in this world to come when there will be no fear. God's way will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We are here to taste that, just get a little glimpse of it here in Big Fork. God has given us the opportunity to be a part of that future world, the world tomorrow. Let's make sure we're there.